Welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv. Today I'm going to talk about a very interesting topic, and it really came up because I was traveling not so long ago, and I was obviously checking out the area for a real estate perspective and investment perspective. And I thought it was interesting to examine the process. I mean, how do you find out about a place? How do you find out what's really going on in an area? So that's the topic of my discussion today. I'll go back a few years. I want to talk about when I went to England. And I was traveling around England looking at the countryside and having a bit of a tourist trek too. But so obviously, I go to a new place, I obviously look where the opportunities are from a real estate perspective. And I ended up in this town where my husband was busy doing something or other. And I thought, you know, I like this town. I want to find out where the opportunities are. So I thought, what is the process that you go through? Now, it was great for me to do it in a place where I really have got no idea what was going on and to actually track that. Because anywhere in Australia, I mean, I study Australia. I'm constantly reading economics reports and tax reports and Australian Bureau of Statistics reports and all of these things, infrastructure spending and all of these things about what's going on around Australia and New Zealand. But when you step out of that and you go to a brand new country, a brand new area, how do you find out where the opportunities are? So I thought, well, okay, what should I do? Well, I thought, you know, a great place to just find out general information is the information centre. So I thought, let's go there first. So we go to the information centre. And the information centre, you know, they're set up to answer your questions. They're set up for tourism predominantly. But they're a great source of information about what's actually going on in an area. So if you want to know where everything is, you can get the maps, you can get the lay of the land. You know, if they're not too busy, they'll have a little chat to you about what's, you know, what the new things are in town, what's the population, you know, what the history of the place is, what new things are happening in the town, such as, you know, is there a new shopping centre going in, or is there a new infrastructure spending of any description going in, and, you know, where do people mostly work, and what's the main industries in the town, all of that information. All of the people in the information centre, if they've been there for any length of time, they know that stuff. So I love information centres because they really give you a broad understanding of what makes this place tick. So that's the first thing. Armed with that information, it's always good to get the locals' opinion. So where do you go to get the locals' opinion? Well, you go to the pub, of course. So this podcast is I'm telling you to go to the pub. No, not really, but it's a great source of information. So you go off to the pub, or I did in this particular town. I waddled off to the pub and I thought, okay, I'll sit there and I'll just, you know, order a wine or a lemon, lime and bitters or something or other. And I'll have a little chat to all the locals, and I worked out what they do, and some are retired, and you chat to the bar person about the town, and, you know, that they're the first ones to tell you what's going on. If it's a dying town, if it's an increasing town, you know, where's the action in town, all of that kind of stuff. So you get the locals' view of what's going on. So you've got the statistics and the local government information and all of that sort of stuff. And then you go for the locals and what their general opinion is. And that's actually important when you're looking at investing in a town, because if the locals don't like the place, which is sometimes the case when you go into these places, if the locals don't like the place, well, why on earth should you be investing there? So anyway, I went there and I had a good chat probably for 2 or 3 hours to a whole lot of people about the town and its history again, but also where it was heading. And actually, in this particular case, I found out about some new businesses that were starting up in the area, because, you know, they'll tell you all the stuff about, oh, this has been, you know, we've been talked about the new abattoir opening up, or it was talked about this happening, or talked about that happening, or, you know, whatever else. And you get kind of the local feel of the place. And then the next place to go to when you're trying to check out what's going on in a particular area, I really like to go to the rental agencies. I don't want to, now notice at this point I haven't gone to a real estate office. I haven't gone to a sales office yet. And you'd think if you're going to go into a town, that's the first place you'd go to if you want to go and buy something, like where's the opportunities? It's actually the end of the line place I go to. I like to go to the rental office first, because when you talk to the rental people, you know, you say to them things like, look, I'm thinking of investing in the town. You know, what's your view on the town? Where do you like to have properties for rent? Where is there a need for rentals? What sort of people rent there? If I, you know, I've been looking at pricing just, you know, in windows and things. If I go over in this side of town, you know, I notice that they're a little bit cheaper. Is there a reason for that? And look, they're going to tell you all the ins and outs. They're going to tell you, well, this area isn't a good part of town. You really don't want to invest there. You won't get very good tenants. You know, we'd prefer you to be in this sort of town. Or the place that I went to in England was interesting, because they actually wanted a lot of places close to the city, because it was a high education town, and there was a lot of people that would come to this particular town because of the universities, and the kids wanted to be close to town. They wanted to be close to town. They wanted a nice little apartment, you know, or a nice house, or you know, something that they could walk to the shops, walk to the cinema, or all of that kind of stuff. So it was really, really interesting talking to the rental people about all of the what their view of the town was, and in particular where they wanted rentals and where the highest rentals were coming from. Because in this particular case, they were saying that I could get like $100, it was about £200 a month more for being in this little circle around a CBD hub. Because of all the closeness, whereas if I went outside that, where there was two buses or the links weren't as good or all of these other things, which I hadn't taken into consideration when you're just looking at real estate, they gave me a really, really good understanding of where I wanted to be. And then, of course, after that, once you've got an understanding of the areas, and you use your maps, you talk to the people about this area and that, and you can write on the maps, you can go through all this kind of stuff. And then and only then do I go to the real estate office where the salespeople are. And I chat to them about their view of the world. And it's interesting when you talk to the salespeople about where the best areas to invest are, it can be totally different to the rental people's view. And it's interesting because the salespeople generally will talk up an area where they've got property for sale. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the easiest place for you to rent out or to get the highest yield or, you know, to add on a granny flat or add on extra dwellings or any of those things. It's very interesting when you do it the other way around and you actually go to the salespeople last. Because by then also, you've also got a very good understanding of the town. You know, you've picked up on the culture of the town. You've picked up on this area is better than that area and all of those sorts of things, which is so important. Now, of course, I'm talking about a medium-sized town. This doesn't work so much when you're talking about going to, say, London or Sydney. You know, it's a big place and you can't quite do it that way. But you can do it at a suburb-by-suburb level. So if you're interested in a particular, you know, two or three suburbs in an area, then you can go through the same kind of process that I've just gone through then and get an idea and a feel of those areas and, you know, before you start talking to the salespeople. So whilst I do a lot of, you know, internet analysis and analysis on the statistics and really map out an area very well for due diligence before I purchase a property, I also like to do the human stuff. And I don't think this can be overlooked. You know, real estate, some people tend to think it's a numbers game, and it is to some degree, but I actually think it's a people's game, because you can sit behind your computer and you can do all the analysis in the world. You know, I can teach you how to do grid variance analysis, which will tell you categorically, you know, which suburbs are going to make you the most money for doing manufactured growth, absolutely without question. Or I can go to, you know, I can show you how to do the feasibility studies on this property and that property and all of those sort of things. And all of that is very important. Don't get me wrong. It absolutely is. But the people side of the business is very, very important. And that's why, you know, I believe anyone who's a full-time property investor or even a part-time property investor, they really should allocate a certain percentage of their time to getting out and talking to people. Now, whether it be the sorts of people I just spoke about then, or whether it be, builders or contractors or, you know, surveyors and town planners, actually make appointments so that you really get some insights as to what's going on. Architects, go to open homes. All of these things are very important because you get to talk to people. You get to get their view on the world and you know, how they see things going. And are sales good? And or, you know, has it been a bit hard to get sales lately? All of that gives you a very good indication about the market itself. So I really believe that real estate is a people's business. And the more you can make it a people's business, the better results you're going to get. Yes, you do need the technical analysis stuff, but I was, for instance, this week I was out looking at a renovation house and for one of my friends, and they were that's another story. I'll talk about overcapitalization in a minute, but or maybe on another podcast. But I was going through their property and looking at whether they should do this, that, or whatever else. And then we were chatting afterwards, and she's actually a real estate agent. And she said, you know, she's noticed a marked difference in the way properties are being sold, particularly the good properties, particularly the properties that are renovation deals or the ones that are development deals or subdivision deals or any of these ones where they've got great manufactured growth potentials. What she was saying is that they actually never hit the market. They don't hit the internet. They don't hit the realestate.com and domain.com. Because they've got the real estate agents that get those listings, they've got a list of people that, you know, contact them on a regular basis who might be builders, they might be developers, they might be active investors who are constantly in contact with them saying, look, you know, if you get something like this come up, please ring me first. You know, this is what I want to buy. I'm in the market. And know what you're after because, you know, those people don't want to be wasting their time making a whole lot of phone calls if you're genuinely not a buyer and you're just a tire kicker. But they will put you on their shortlist, particularly if you form those relationships over time. I mean, to get this property that they got, which I think was probably about $80,000 or $90,000 below market that they got it for, this particular property, admittedly it was run down, but this particular property, it never hit the market. You know, when they got the listing, the first person they called was you know, my friend, because she had been on the phone to them constantly going, oh no, we missed out on that one. No, that one didn't work, whatever. You know, we just can't seem to be able to get a deal. So when this deal came up, it fitted the criteria. She was the first phone call. They bought it within hours. It never hit the internet. So if you're sitting back waiting for something to hit the internet, you're probably going to miss out, or you're going to get the dregs. You're going to get the ones that are not keenly priced or very keenly priced, so that they're, you know, they're nothing flash. They're another property. Yes, there still might be money in the deal, but you know, to be able to get those really good deals that are maybe 10, 15% below market, you really need to be forming those relationships. Relationships are just so important. So if you're concentrating on a particular area, I mean, I'd be a little bit of a real estate tart as well. I'd be contacting all the agents, you know, sitting down, having a cup of coffee with them, have them on a regular basis, so that you know that if any of them get a listing of the type of property that you're after, then you're their first call. And the more you show your face, the more you, you know, just have a chat, touch base, chat to them about the market. It's really, really beneficial. And I know over the years, that's how I've got some of my best deals. You know, they don't hit the market. They're very much relationship-based. You know, the old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know, is very, very true. And it's something that is certainly the case in real estate. So, guys, I hope that's been helpful. It was only a little short one today, but I hope that's been helpful. It's just a bit of a chat on, you know, what to do, how to get started when you don't know an area. And also, you know, if you're finding these useful, if you're finding them helpful, please refer them to your mates. You can download them. They are free on iTunes. And, you know, you obviously can get iTunes on Android and on Apples. And of course, refer them to your mates and get them excited about what's going on around the place as well. So thanks. That's it for me today. And thanks for listening. And I'll be back again to talk to you next week on something completely different. Talk to you soon, guys. Bye for now.